Hi, I'm Ben Rizzuto, wealth strategist at Janus Henderson Investors. For 90 years, we've worked to help clients achieve superior financial outcomes and fulfill our purpose of investing in a brighter future together. To learn more, go to janushenderson.com.
Evacuation warnings in Gaza as Israel inches closer to an offensive on the city of Rafah. Plus, Xi Jinping heads to Europe in a major test of the continent's allegiances.
There's been a great amount of transatlantic agreement in terms of taking a tough approach towards China. So China is really looking to sort of separate EU from the US.
And Warren Buffett's Berkshire Hathaway tweaks its portfolio, but stays quiet on plans for its record cash pile. It's Monday, May 6th. I'm Luke Vargas for The Wall Street Journal, and here is the AM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories moving your world today. The Israeli military has told Palestinians sheltering in parts of the Gazan city Rafah to evacuate ahead of an expected offensive to target Hamas. The military said the evacuation notice, which was delivered via text messages, phone calls, flyers, and Arabic media broadcasts, affects an estimated 100,000 people, but didn't provide a deadline to evacuate or suggest when that broader offensive might start. The notice comes after ceasefire talks being held in Egypt faltered over the weekend amid disagreement over whether negotiators were aiming for a permanent end of fighting or just a temporary pause. Speaking yesterday, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu insisted Israel had showed willingness to go a long way in ceasefire negotiations, but that Hamas's demands that Israel not attack again after a ceasefire would have made another October 7th inevitable.
Hamas remains entrenched in its extreme positions. First among them, the demand to remove all our forces from the Gaza Strip, end the war, and leave Hamas in power. The state of Israel cannot accept that.
Following the breakdown in talks, Hamas on Sunday launched rockets and mortars toward an Israeli-controlled border crossing, one of the two major entryways for aid into Gaza, leading Israel to close the crossing. Chinese leader Xi Jinping has kicked off a closely watched trip to Europe, his first in nearly 5 years, and one that is shaping up to test the continent's willingness to confront Beijing over its trade and foreign policies. The first leg of the six-day trip is now underway in France, where Xi could encounter the most pushback from President Emmanuel Macron before what are expected to be more welcome stops in Serbia and Hungary. Journal reporter Austin Ramsey covers China's global reach from our bureau in Hong Kong. Austin, on this stop in France, we are reporting Macron is expected to confront the Chinese leader. On what exactly and to what end?
Well, there are two major points that Macron is expected to confront Xi on. One is trade. There's a belief that Chinese exports are flooding Europe, and there's a sense that China is trying to export its way out of its own slump at the expense of European manufacturers. The second is the war in Ukraine and China's support, tacit support for that war, and the way that China is helping prop up Russia's economy, providing it with dual-use goods that help it rebuild its military is another thing that Macron is expected to confront.
Yeah, on trade, it sounds like we are expecting Macron to stand up pretty forcefully in defense of what he sees as European economic interests, even inviting the EU Commission President Ursula von der Leyen along on part of this visit to try and present a united front.
That's right. And she is traditionally more of a hawk towards China and will help in terms of the efforts to put up a tougher front towards China.
Trying to present a united front, though Europe has notable divisions over China policy.
That's right. The German car industry is very embedded in China, which is something that they want to protect. And they have some different views in terms of the EU investigation, in terms of Chinese electric car exports. And so when the German chancellor was in China recently, he did not rebuke China publicly over this. While French car makers, they produce more of the lower price vehicles that faced more direct competition from China. So this is something that's very close to their interests.
Looking at the sort of back end of this trip for Xi, he's heading to Serbia and Hungary as well, countries not typically considered major European powers. What is the significance of those visits?
He's expecting to get a much warmer reception in those countries. These are places that are sort of outliers in terms of European unity. In Serbia, this is Exhibit A of China's questioning over NATO and defense alliances. It was 25 years ago this week that the Americans, as part of a NATO action, accidentally bombed the Chinese embassy in Belgrade, killing three people. That's something Xi is expected to participate in memorials over that event. And then likewise in Hungary, they're also an outlier in the EU and have at points opposed support for Ukraine. So that's something that Xi would tacitly want to encourage as well.
Yeah, Hungary also a part of the Belt and Road Infrastructure Initiative, also hosting Huawei communications technology in the country. Would we be right to see China trying to play divide and conquer here, but perhaps in a way that has wider implications?
That's an underlying part of this overall trip, is that China is really looking for trying to sort of separate EU from the US in terms of policies towards China. And really, over the past few years, there's been a great amount of transatlantic agreement in terms of taking a tough approach towards China. So to the extent that any nations within Europe might want to take a more relaxed approach, more welcoming to Chinese investment and trade, that's very much something that Xi is seeking in Europe.
I have been speaking to Wall Street Journal reporter Austin Ramsey in Hong Kong. Austin, thank you so much.
Thank you, Luke.
Coming up, Ukraine's bondholders begin pushing for repayment, plus updates from Berkshire Hathaway's annual shareholder meeting and more after the break.
The Capital Ideas podcast now has a new monthly edition hosted by Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin. Investment professionals reveal their best mentors, how they find their next great idea, and a few funny stories. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. American Funds Distributors, Inc.
We are exclusively reporting that a group of foreign bondholders, including BlackRock and PIMCO, are planning to press Ukraine to begin paying interest on its debt as soon as next year. The group, which holds around a fifth of Kyiv's $20 billion in outstanding eurobonds, has hired lawyers and bankers to negotiate on its behalf in talks that Ukraine said it's prepared to begin next month. However, the U.S. and its allies are concerned that taxpayer money, including some of the $60 billion in aid recently passed by Congress, will end up in the hands of bondholders if Kyiv resumes servicing its debt. While the U.S. and other governments granted Ukraine a debt holiday until 2027, the bondholders only agreed to a two-year holiday, which ends in August. Berkshire Hathaway has trimmed its mammoth stake in Apple and closed its position in struggling entertainment giant Paramount Global. Chairman Warren Buffett told shareholders that the Paramount investment had lost quite a bit of money, but he praised Apple, describing it as an even better business than American Express and Coca-Cola, two other big positions in Berkshire's portfolio. However, Journal reporter Karen Langley says this year's shareholder meeting in Omaha was notable for what info Buffett didn't disclose, including plans for the company's record $189 billion cash pile or firm details about who will run Berkshire's investment portfolio after Buffett.
We've known that Berkshire has designated Greg Abel, who runs Berkshire's non-insurance operating businesses, as the person who will follow Buffett as CEO. There has been an expectation that two investing deputies at Berkshire, Todd Combs and Ted Weschler, would take over management of the entire portfolio when Warren Buffett is no longer there. But Buffett said on Saturday that while Berkshire's board will one day make this decision, he would leave the responsibility to Greg Abel. Buffett said of Abel, he understands business extremely well, and if you understand businesses, you understand common stocks.
It turns out American workers can get some satisfaction at their jobs, at least. A new survey from business research group The Conference Board has found nearly 63% of workers have a positive overall feeling about their jobs, the highest rating since 1987. But Journal European Finance editor Alex Franco says that doesn't mean that employers should necessarily assume that everyone's happy, as the same survey also showed declines in worker contentment with wages and work-life balance.
The broader job market has been extremely strong. I mean, unemployment has been under 4% for over a couple of years. We did see on Friday the jobs numbers slow down a little bit. The unemployment rate ticked up just a little bit. So everyone is looking for signs that the job market is cooling off. but people's job satisfaction remains pretty high. And a lot of times job satisfaction is high because people feel like they have choice. They can bargain with their employer because they can go and find another job if they need to.
And doctors across America are now rallying to eliminate cervical cancer once and for all. HPV vaccination rates in the U.S. are lagging, and screening rates have also fallen, leading to a rise in cervical cancer cases among women 30 to 44. Some 4,300 women are expected to die from cervical cancer this year amid stubborn pockets of resistance and inadequate access to care. Trends that health reporter Brianna Abbott said the state of Alabama, with among the highest cancer rates, is trying to tackle head on.
They're doing a couple of things. Number one, they're pushing to increase HPV vaccination rates among younger adolescents who are eligible. They're also going into these communities with higher rates and trying to sort of bring screening and follow-up care more directly close to some of these women. And they're also trying to sort of educate people about HPV infections and how common it is and sort of why screening and vaccination are important to really prevent this disease.
Well, speaking of public health, obesity continues to be a major concern for governments around the world. Ozempic and other drugs like it have been revolutionary for weight loss, though they are also sparking big changes in many industries from food to medicine. And we want to know what questions you have about what those drugs could mean for how we eat, how we shop, and how we stay healthy. So send a voice memo with your thoughts to WNPOD at WSJ.com or leave a voicemail with your name and location at 212-416-4328. And we just might use it on the show. And that is What's News for Monday morning. Today's show was produced by Kate Bullivant. Our supervising producer is Sandra Kilhoff. And I'm Luke Vargas for The Wall Street Journal. We will be back tonight with a new show. And until then, thanks for listening.
The Claude 3 model family by Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. Haiku is lightning fast and cost-effective. Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skills and speed. And Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Learn more at anthropic.com/Claude.